Oh, here we are. Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive eater living in New York. Today is Friday, June 24th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 11, paragraph 5, which starts with, "That floored me," and ends with, "He shouted great tidings." We will be reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marie M.B., 12 Traditions, Reggie O. The text reader today, our first reader, is Carol G. Our second reader, who's reading page 164, is Jordan L. And our backup reader is Lorraine N. Newcomer greeter today will be Noel E., and announcements are by Shelley E. And thank you so much, everyone, for your service and your dedication to this meeting. It's been a great month. So let's see, the reference numbers. The share ID, somebody's unmuted, so please check your phones, star one to mute. The share ID from yesterday, Thursday, June 23rd, 2022, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time was 19,101. It's 19101. And this morning, Friday, June 23rd, nope, today's June 24th, sorry. This morning, Friday, June 24th, 2022, at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,103. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So now, will Marie M.B. please read the 12 steps? Marie?
Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Marie M.B., recovering compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over foods, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to have the 12 traditions. That was the 12 traditions, sorry. Boy, what do you know? All right, so our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 11, paragraph 5, beginning with "That Floored Me." And
Diane,
Bill,
this is Reggie. Would you like me to read the 12 traditions?
Oh, so I thought we did them. Ay, ay, ay. I am so sorry. Yes, please. Do the traditions,
all right.
Reggie. Oh,
okay,
my gosh.
Thanks.
So sorry.
Oh, I thought I had forgotten something myself. So
no, I forgot.
It's all good.
Thank you for your assistance.
You bet. Thank you. One, these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Have a great day, everybody.
Reggie, thank you so much, and I'm so sorry I tried to skip over you. Okay, now, to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. Now we will resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 11, paragraph 5, "That Floored Me," ending with "He shouted great tidings." So, Carol G., please read for us and get us started.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, "That Floored Me." It began to look as though religious people were right after all. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings. Well, when I read this, I was like so excited because I love this paragraph. I myself was raised with a dad who was kind of jaded and arrogant, and he used to make fun of religious people. And I had an aunt and uncle who were so adorable and nice and everything, and I didn't appreciate it till too much later. And they were very religious, and I now see the beauty in them, and I also see the beauty in so many people that are religious. If somebody's a believer, I can relate to them right away. And I just want to say one other thing, that that phrase that floored me. I just feel that so much in my life right now, being in programs since 2013, but not really getting recovery like the Vision Way just a few years ago. It just keeps getting better and better. And it is true that so many people that I couldn't relate to before, all of a sudden it's like I'm getting along with everybody and we're all having fun. People who aren't in program, people in my family, my husband's family, it's like I'm pinching myself. It's like, can life really be this fun? So I just want to say that what he was saying in Abby, if I may say, I'm feeling that people in my life are giving me feedback that they're seeing it in me, and it's not me. It's higher power, and it's the gift of recovery, and it's just marvelous. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I appreciate you getting us started. Okay, so now I'm going to be able to take names and your with your last initial and your state for people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Sherry Well E.
Melanie C.
All right,
Veronica B.
Bruce.
Elaine G.
Veronica B.
Hold on, please. I have, I know I skipped some people. I have Sherry, Bruce, Melanie, Elaine, Veronica. Did anybody else try to speak in there?
Noel E.
Noel. Anyone else?
And Carla C.
Terrific. What a great lineup. Okay, so we're going to start with Sherry. Please give it the last initial and your state, please.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sherry, Z as in zebra, Southern California, and recovered here in Southern California. The way I learned about miracles was that they were big, profound, splitting of the Red Sea, things that you could really point to as wholesale miracles. And I'm a miracle because I don't spend each day fighting the food every day. That's a much subtler, quieter miracle. And I see miracles abound, and I loved the share because every day was so hard, and by the end of the day, I was just like wiped out from fighting. And now in recovery and recovered by the 12 steps, and I, to the newcomer, I spent 31 years in OA, and I found that a life recovered in these rooms, in Visionaries, was what I needed to have food neutrality and to have real freedom. This is the miracle. This is the miracle that I see happening all around us. And I'm just incredibly grateful. And there's a line that I heard early on, don't leave before the miracle happens. And the miracle's happening every day. So thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Next we have Bruce. And your last initial and your state, please, Bruce.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's me. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered. I live in Southwest Florida. I'm really happy to be on the line and glad to share on this part of the big book, any part of the big book, but this part is, I think, really neat. It tells about Bill's recovery, or the beginning of it anyway. And, yeah, just a guy sitting with him in the kitchen table and talking some sense and talking some spiritual things. And man, he's coming around quickly because he says here, there've been no more power. Let's see, what does it say here about, oh, that floored me. began to look as though religious people were right after all. Well, I spent a good part of my life thinking religious people were really losers. You know, I mean, I thought, oh, Jesus. And the guys that I saw leave high school or graduate from high school and start to go to church or something and get married, stay home, you know, read the newspaper, watch, you know, whatever. I thought that was for losers. And then sometime later, it took 20 years of pain and suffering that I finally came to see and believe this, that religious people were right after all. So that's what Bill's saying about Ebby here. Here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. You notice it says there in a human heart, it doesn't say in a human mind. You know, I mean, the heart thing is what I need, and probably need to pray more. I've been thinking, you know, thinking that it's more in my mind that I need to straighten up and live right here, but think right. But it's really my heart. It's really a heart thing. My heart has to change. And he could see that Ebby's had changed. And that's, you know, pretty awesome when somebody can see that in you. That's a miracle. And then it goes on to say that it talks about miracles, you know, that here's a miracle sitting right across the table from him. So, yeah, if people didn't believe in miracles, then, you know, there's a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm recovered. It's a miracle that I'm on this call. It's a miracle we have all these. Just the fact that everybody's on this call, that's a miracle in itself, just to be on here and make an attempt to try to give up this disease of compulsive eating that had me in its grips. And so I came in when I was, came in about 30 years ago into OA and struggled for 25 years, you know, a week here, a week there, a month here, a month there. I think one time I got a year and white knuckled it all the way through. Couldn't get it, you know, just couldn't get it. And then came into Vision, got a Vision sponsor, started reading this big book together, and the miracle started happening. You know, the obsession and compulsion started to lift, and started getting neutral with food, you know, put down the alcoholic foods. And
just a reminder.
Was able to do this. Well, I thank you. Thank you very much. And I pass.
Thanks, Bruce. Next, we have Melanie C. from Oregon.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and I live in Canby, Oregon. I really appreciated Bruce's share just then. Those are the very things that I was looking at and seeing as well, looking at this particular story. We're second chapter in, if we want to consider the doctor's opinion as chapter number one, where we talk about entire abstinence. And then here we are deep into the throes of something that's very deep in the soul that's happening to Bill when he was once hardened over by not seeing this at all. You know, he started talking about, you know, his prejudice against this concept. And here we are, second chapter in, and we're talking deeply about what the cause of the condition is and not being about the food at all. It just needed to be arrested and set aside so that we can see what was the real block. And he had this friendship with Ebby for years and years and years. He saw something different in him that was just dynamic after just a couple of months that made a difference, that melted Bill's heart, and that was exactly the experience that I had. Exact same experience that I had. I was buried underneath a lot of thoughts and disbeliefs and prejudice about a power because I tried so hard to utilize that force all the time from the time I was in single digits. And it wasn't working for me. I just didn't understand the process and the way this thing was going to unfold because it really did happen to me. It really did happen to me. There was something intuitive. There was something about sound judgment that Bill was able to melt his heart and take a look at something different and try it again. And that's exactly what happened to me as well. I bristled at it, but I went ahead anyway. I declared myself agnostic and atheist in these rooms because I had to move through a process of getting to where my heart was out and my soul was too. But I became open-minded and God locked the door behind me so I couldn't leave. So all these things happened for me, in me, with me, safely, because you allowed me that freedom to do so within these rooms. The blinders were taken from my eyes.
layers and layers and layers of disbelief and doubt and rage and anger were lifted a little bit. I surely addressed the cause of my condition, which I'm going to boldly say it again. Food needed to be put away. The activation of the allergy needed to be put aside, but it wasn't about any of those things. It was about a dysregulation of my mind and my thinking and my soul disconnection. And I was able to learn that here in these rooms with you all here within me and for me. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. Next, we have Elaine. R1, unmute, Elaine.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. The miracles for me is just being abstinent is a miracle for me. And I got 3 days abstinence. And the only way I do that is if I pray to God that I don't go into that kitchen in the middle of the night, you know? My food sponsor, because what I've been doing is going into the kitchen, says, why don't you just leave a fruit out the refrigerator? I said, no, I don't want to do that. Because once I do that, then I want to eat something else in the kitchen. And so it's 3 days. It's a miracle. And it's a miracle that my nephew, who I text and call all the time, wasn't calling me. This was for years that he wasn't calling me or texting me. And he's finally reached out to me on the phone and to talk about my sister. And tell you the truth, I don't care what he calls me about, as long as he keeps the connection with me, you know? And I could really sympathize with him, be compassionate to him about my sister, you know? And the other miracle is that I've been praying for my friends that are suffering and struggling, and it's been helping. But you know how they say the power of prayer? It's really been helping. I mean, this one friend of mine has been really struggling with his physical, disabilities, is feeling better. And hopefully today we'll get together for lunch. And the other miracle is that I woke up this morning, you know, to a beautiful sunny day, you know, and it's nice that it's the last Friday in June, and that it's officially summer now, you know, because June 21st was officially summer, and I was so nervous about getting this exterminated at my house here, and worried that I was going to have to go out and get these traps, and he said, no, I can take care of it with the spray. I said, oh, great. No, but anyway, and it's a miracle that I'm doing my fourth step, and I'm almost done with it. And I don't want to do it, but I keep on asking God, before I do it, give me the willingness to do it, you know? Give me the willingness to do all the things I need to do today. And, I'm kind of laid up here with my knee and my back. But I do have hope. I'm hopeful I will get physical therapy. And I'm grateful that my son is getting me that chair when he comes, and when we're outside on Saturday, we'll be sitting in the shade to put my foot up. And
just
I got a
reminder.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Elaine. Elaine, what was the initial of your last name? Are you still there? Okay, Veronica, please give us the initial of your last. Oh, Elaine, yes. What's your initial?
G.
G. Thank you so much, Elaine G.
Thank you.
Okay, Veronica, you're up, and if you could give us the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Hi, I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater in California. My initial is B, like boy. What I really love about this paragraph is my ideas about miracles were drastically revised. I looked up the word revised, and I thought revised meant change, but it means corrected or altered. An example of revised is when you change your opinion on something. And that is what the 12 steps have done for me. It has changed my mind, has changed my thinking about how I see the world today and how I approach situations in my life. And before program, I came in very prejudiced about religious people. I was very angry. I was a victim. Everything, I approached life like through victim's eyes. And today, you know, my ideas and my thinking has been revised. And today I see things through a different pair of glasses. You know, it's like I see things differently today. Today I want to do God's will. And I'm very clear on what God's will is. It's any action that makes love grow. Any action that makes love grow. So what does that mean for me? That means that today I try to do the right thing, and I can't do it alone. So this is why, for me, I have to check in with you guys every day. I have to get on this phone meeting so you guys can touch my spirit. And because before, I was so angry, I was very hardened by my old ideas. So this paragraph resonates with me because my ideas have been revised about life and about how I get to approach life today. I'm a compulsive eater, so I can't. I live in a different entity. I cannot afford resentment. I cannot afford fear. When those crop up, I want to, you know, retaliate, and I want to get, you know, I want to use food. And so program and 12 steps and a higher power and God has helped me change how I approach life today. And I know that I cannot do this alone. I cannot stay connected to God. I cannot stay connected to you guys alone. I need God's help. I need to be in these rooms. I need to be in the middle of OA, because on my own, I behave on my own ego, and my ego is not my amigo. Okay, so I got to connect with you guys every day and feel God's, you know, love through your guys' examples, and, you know, with my relationship that I have with God today. So thank you so much for letting me share, everyone. Have a good day.
Thanks, Veronica B. Next, we have Noel E.
Good morning, everyone. It's Noel E., gratefully recovered here in Louisiana. Thank you to everybody who's doing service on this line and everyone who shared. Oof, man, it's so good. I was raised Methodist, and I went to Episcopal school up until the fifth grade, and then I went to Catholic school until I graduated high school. So a lot of messages, I mean, just from every angle. And, you know, I'm from Louisiana, so I'm like, you know, I'm surrounded by Catholics down here. And that is what God has like always shown me, is even if I've ever, you know, even if I've ever not understood the church, I always would love Catholic people. And here, when he says religious people, you know, like that's the reason he's talking about the humans. You know, it's not the institutions they belong to, it's them. And like Bruce mentioned in his share, thank you, Bruce, here's something at work in the human heart, not the mind. I mean, that is, I'm still processing that is so true, you know, and that the miracles that are present in my life today are not sweeping, you know, huge occurrences. It's like several tiny miracles all the time. That is, you know, no matter the size of the miracle, every single one is significant. And that's just, you know, what I'm getting from this reading, I'm like just a little bit like overwhelmed by how beautiful this all is. And another favorite part of mine of this paragraph is he shouted great tidings. Like welcome, you know, almost as if right there, Bill understands that he's like arriving on the shore to a new place or something, you know, like that's just a beautiful, description of being like, just being seen by someone saying, hello, I'm here. So are you. And it's just, yeah, it's just beautiful. Oh man. Thank you, everybody. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Noelle. Next, we have Carla C.
Good morning, everyone. I love everyone's shares, and I love this meeting. I've been in Vision for You since January, and it's been life-changing and just so grateful to this big book, Bill's story before. Vision, I didn't understand Bill's testimony, and just the past few weeks, my husband's been out of town, and I've been able to just focus on recovery and meditation and slowing down and absorbing, you know, the words in Bill's story, and it's been life-changing for me, you know, never mind the musty past, which I've been trying to dodge, you know, it's, the heart change, the prayer that I've been asking for. You know, I ask people to pray for me, and my heart is softening, and I'm forgiving and letting go and letting God. And the ego's not in charge anymore. I thought I had to run the show, but thank God I can surrender today. Thanks. It's Carla in California.
Thank you, Carla. Okay, so let's see. We have time for some more speakers. If you've shared in the past 3 days, so if you've shared yesterday or Wednesday, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. Sorry about that. So I'll take some more names and
for sure. Lorraine.
Wait a minute. All right, please stop. I got Lorraine. That's it.
Arlene B.
Arlene.
O-H.
Deborah
G. Wait a minute. Noel. I'm sorry. Lorraine, Arlene, Noel.
Karen F.
Karen and somebody H or S-H.
I think
Mo
it was,
H.
Yeah.
Mo H. Gotcha. One more?
No.
All right, stop. Please stop. Please stop. All right, Lorraine, Arlene, Noel, Karen, Mo, and who was the other person who was in there?
Mary.
Mary. Okay, thank you so much. I hope that we have time for all of you, but I'm not sure if we will. So, Lorraine N., you can get started, please, and excuse me, give us your state.
Hi, Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. Yeah, great paragraph. And it brings me back to 2 points in my OA journey. My very first meeting in Boston in 1983 or 4, huge meeting in some room at Boston University on a Sunday morning. I walked in, there must have been 100 people. And the woman walked down front and shared her story and talked about throwing food in the trash after a binge. And then later on in the evening, pulling that food out of the trash and eating it. And I knew I had found others like myself, because I didn't think anyone else on the planet did that. I did that. And there was someone else saying that she did that too. Well, she became my first sponsor and handed me what they called the gray sheet at the time. And that lasted for about 2 weeks. But so then I stumbled around OA for the next 40 years. And the next thing that floored me is when I dialed into this meeting I guess I did have an Ebby who gave me this phone number, and I dialed in, and from the very first day, I had never heard the word recovered used at an OA meeting, and I kept hearing that word on this line, and that intrigued me, to say the least, and I listened, I still listen every single day, sometime to all three meetings, and yeah, there was something in the human hearts of the people I heard on this line, you know, which had changed everything for them. And so my idea of miracles changed and was revised drastically then. And then I had the opportunity to attend this convention, the Visions Convention, before COVID, thank God. And I got to meet some of these people that I hear on the line and see their recovery and talk to them. And, you know, I, when I think of all the years I stumbled around with, and I had this book, but I didn't know it was a textbook. And I didn't really understand why I was reading about some old guy from World War One, and now I totally, of course, identify in here with Bill. And so that was really coming to Visions 3 years ago was the beginning of my spiritual awakening, reading one-on-one this big book with another person. Changed, I don't know how that magically works together. And since then, you know, I've read it through with other sponsors and also many sponsees. And, you know, I'm full of flaws. I spend a lot of time reading step 6 and 7 and trying to live in 10, 11, and 12. And just super grateful for this particular meeting and other meetings. I go to speaker meetings and big book studies and 12-step studies. And I need to hear recovery. Thank you so much, and I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Lorraine. Next, we have Arlene. If you could give us your last initial, the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Hi, my name is Arlene B. as in boy, and I'm from Los Angeles, California. And I'm happy to be on the meeting this morning. I loved listening to the paragraph and also how many people I heard this morning talked about being in OA for 30, 40 years. You know, I started in OA when I was in my late 20s and I'm now 74. I met my husband in OA and he unfortunately passed away on April 12th. And then I broke my shoulder just before he passed away and I had major shoulder surgery on March 28th. And I've been home. I've had company, thank goodness, with my sister-in-law. But I hear about all the miracles that people have had, even after being in OA for many years. My experience is that I've been abstinent, not abstinent, on, off, in, out. And, you know, I think I'm ready now to ask for a sponsor in this program. And it would be amazing to have somebody who's had that experience in OA. I've asked one person that I've met, and she's not available yet, but I will stay and take names at the end. You know, it's like I struggle with the food still, and I just don't want to do that anymore. You know, when I was younger, I would lose weight to meet a guy, and now it's like I just want to lose weight to be healthy. And I feel desperate to do it, and I know desperation is not enough. You know, there for a time recently, I thought, oh, maybe I can just leave OA, but that's really always been the only answer for me, as many of us have done. I've tried many other things. So I'm looking for my sort of experience or spiritual experience to help me find my way back. I never left. I find my way back to really comfortable way of eating and a connection that, you know, to do that. So I'm sure my time is almost up, and so I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arlene. Next we have Noel. If you could give us your initial of your last name and your state, please. Noel, star 1 to unmute, please. Okay, maybe I did not hear an OL. So we'll go over to Karen, and if you can give us your the initial of your last name and your state. Star one.
Hi, this is Karen F. from Michigan. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you.
Oh, okay, I got excited when I saw the phrase, he said great, he shouted great tidings, and it made me think of, I'm almost sure they probably got that. There was a there's a verse in the Bible where the angel says when they're announcing the birth of Jesus that I bring you good tidings of great joy. And I think they kind of combined that and said he shouted great tidings. That's just my theory on that, that it was kind of derived from that. So what it's good news is what it boils down to, is it's really good news. And like, we have so much bad news in this world. I mean, the news is bad. The gas prices are high. There's shootings. I mean, it's terrible. But when you're in OA, you have some good news. You have some great tidings, because the good news is that is in the paragraph above, God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And that's to finally like surrender this whole eating and be able to just lay the food down and become abstinent. And then you can really start living your life, because you're really dealing with life on life's terms. And I just think it's just fantastic news. And living life in recovery is amazing. It's not easy. Like, there's still lifey things going on, but you have the steps to help you process through things. And you have this tremendous support system with your fellows. You have people you can call when your day's going awry and they don't think you're weird for calling. And you can call and say, I had a funeral today and I want to pig out and please help. And you're reaching out for help. And there's good news, because we don't have to run to the food to solve things. We don't have to numb out anymore. And so I just think it is like, he finally was at such a low spot that he could hear the good news. And some people aren't ready to hear the good news yet, and then some are. I'm really glad I got to the spot where I was ready to hear it, because it's just given me a whole new life being in recovery. And life is still hard. There's just more ways to cope with it, and food was not fixing anything. So I'll just pass with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen. Next, we have Mo H.
Good morning. My name is Mo H, and I am a recovered compulsive eater sugar addict. Very glad to be here this morning, and thanks for all your service. I'm going to zero in on the line here where it says, here was something at work in a human heart which had done the impossible. And on page 25 in the big book, it says, the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, our fellows, and toward God's universe. And one of the things I was thinking about as I was listening to everybody shares is there's miracles around us all the time, around me all the time. The problem is when I'm in the food, I don't recognize any of those miracles. I may say when I get a parking space, oh, that's a coincidence, you know, something like that. But there are miracles now in clarity of abstinence, the clarity of mind, the clarity of sight, the clarity of hearing all around me. And I miss them when I'm so dug deep down into the food. And I don't want to miss them anymore. A beautiful sunrise or sunset, I'm sitting outside and just enjoying that moment of peace with God. So it is really important for me to remain abstinent, but to keep working all of my program, not just the part that I want to, but all of it every day. And then, done the impossible, which was a miracle for Bill And I think for all of us on the line, it is a miracle if we stop our compulsive eating, our binging, our purging, whatever it is. That is a miracle in and of itself. And, you know, living alone, it's very easy for me to just buy any food I want and eat anything I want. And I don't. It just isn't part of my ritual at all. I enjoy, and there's a person in our rooms that says, you know, I love my food. I love my abstinent food. And I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy fixing my vegetables and having them taste really nice. And yes, I eat a lot of vegetables, but, you know, they're good for me. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Mo. Next, we have Mary. If you could give us the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Yes, this is Mary R. from Ohio. And can you hear me all right?
Yep, we hear you loud and clear.
I forget what the mute and unmute number is. Anyhow, I really appreciate this meeting. It's absolutely fabulous. It's helped me so much, and the program, based on the program. The reading today, it sort of struck me because I was fortunate enough to grow up with a mother that believed in a higher power, well, God. She wouldn't call it a higher power because she wasn't in program. But I was grateful for that because growing up in a dysfunctional home, I had a close relationship with God, especially in private. And so I do appreciate that. The book, I guess, was written in the 1930s, and so they use the word religion. But this program has taught me as an adult now to look at it as being spiritual. And there's a big difference for me. Religion is more ritualistic, and it's a great source for community. People of like mind who praise and thank their God. But spirituality is so much better. It's a personal relationship with your higher power for me. And this program has helped me to foster and improve that relationship. I have a hard time surrendering and accepting things, and this program has helped me in those aspects and many more. But it's like having a good relationship with your higher power. It's spirituality is talking with your higher power, listening to your higher power, the art of communication, which with humans is not always the best for me, and you know, spending time together, things that make any relationship a good one, listening, you know, to my higher power. What is his will for me? What can I do today to fulfill my purpose in life? And all this comes from attending this meeting and listening to the shares and the big book and all the tools that I have. You know, there's no...
gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to end with a big thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you, everyone who shared today. We will now close with the meeting from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous today and abstinent. And our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...